Hey, Kelsey.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to see you. Oh,
Whole clan here.
so cute. How has it been going? Are you sleeping?
Little bit. My husband's been out of town the last like 4 days, so he comes home today, and it'll be a lovely return to shared responsibilities. So,
Yeah,
but we
good.
survived. Did well. Yeah.
Hey, Rose. Hi, Simona. Hi, Angie. It's good to see you, Angie. We missed you at the last retreat.
I missed you all too.
Where are you now? You're not back home yet, are you?
Am
You
back in
are.
New
Wow.
He back in New Hampshire. I know it went so
How are you
fast.
sick?
So quick. Yeah. Back in New Hampshire just for a few days.
I'm glad you're here. Hey, Kim. Hey, Dottie. Hi, Elvie. Hey, Bruce. I hope you're all doing well. Hi, Leah. I hope wherever you are, it's also not too hot. I know there are certain places that are just super, super hot right now. Hope you're all taking good care. All right. Well, let's get connected in and settled. Take a moment to go inward if it feels comfortable to close your eyes. I invite you to close your eyes. If not, keep your eyes open. Give yourself permission to go inward. Notice where you're making connection with your seat. Feel firm in that connection. And take a moment to settle in, to your seat, feeling the support of the ground beneath it and the earth beneath that. Giving yourself the opportunity to remember your body again. And to notice how you're inhabiting your body today. Noticing how the breath feels in your body today. Finding a part of your body that you don't usually inhabit. Maybe it's one of your knees, part of your back, a pinky toe, Find a part of your body that you don't usually inhabit and bring presence to it. Allow yourself to take up space there. And then placing a hand on your heart or simply connecting in with your heart. And honoring your heart. For all that it holds. For all that it has experienced, for all that it desires. I'm taking another breath, and when you're ready, allowing your eyes to flutter open if they're not already open. Hi, it's so good to see everybody. Glad you're here. I'm happy to be with you. And this time today is dedicated to following up from our last retreat, to seeing what you've been working on, how it's been going, how you can more deeply integrate, and depending on where the conversation goes, maybe some other goodies as well. But I'll kick us off with this question of how has it been going? In terms of either for yourself or with clients, either working with dreams or working with cards or imagery or any other soul work that you've been doing. How has it been going? What have you been seeing? What have you been noticing? Or how has it not been going? Who wants to share? Have you been paying attention to dreams? Have you been working with cards or imagery for yourself, with clients?
Okay.
Great.
Yeah, I've been actually a lot more comfortable using cards with some of my clients who I was just didn't think of doing that or was a little resistant to their resistance. And it was totally made up in my head because they're loving it. And there's some, for some of them, it's really new. And it's been interesting having conversations about certain card decks and things like that, and just applying some of the exercises to what the meaning of the card has. And for dreaming, definitely, I've been dreaming a ton, and I haven't done that with any clients, but I've been doing some of the journaling for myself, and it's been fun talking about it with one of my daughters who's having crazy vivid dreams too. So, yeah, it's been really fun playing with all of it.
Oh, that's great. I love it. I had a sense for some of you, you'd start dreaming more after that, remembering your dreams more after the retreat. So that's great to hear. With the clients, you said something really interesting. You said that you were assuming that they had resistance, but really they weren't. Mm-hmm. And I'd love for you to share with us how did you get over that hump? How did you introduce working with the cards to clients who you weren't sure would be open with? You know, what was that process like? What can we learn from
It
that?
was really interesting because Solveig brought it up in our chat, like last call, and her input was, I was like, oh yeah, like the way it gets introduced to them. I mean, not with everyone, but it was just more of like a playful, more like a, let's play with this and to see how you feel afterwards. And it was just introduced more like, oh, let's, me imposing. It's more like, how do you feel about maybe, doing some of this playful, more tactical type element within the call. So yeah. And I've kind of into I've been sort of my intuition telling me this person might be okay with it than others as well, even though I had made the assumption. So yeah, it's been really eye-opening that sometimes really applying also the like making assumptions, bringing my filters through things, like even within this. So it's been really it's been fun just being more playful and more aware of my own filters.
Yeah, I love that. And it's such a great example and reminder of energy follows energy. And you've used that word playful a couple of times as you were sharing, Elvie, and it just to reflect back, it feels like there's something important in that for you, in your client work, in your business. I'm not sure, but what, you know, just when I reflect that back, just this energy of playfulness, it feels like there's something emerging there.
Yeah, I feel like usually I tend to let the client not lead completely the call, but I tend to tiptoe around certain things just because, I'm becoming more comfortable with these new techniques. And I don't want to like start like just randomly like, oh, let's just play with this. I mean, with some people I'm more comfortable. So I'm allowing myself to be more playful with it in the way that I introduce certain things and cards being one of them. So just allowing myself to be more free to play. And that brings so much this lightness to my relationship with the client, which has really been fun.
I love that. I love that so
I'm
much.
just like playing around with like just bringing joy, even if it's a serious thing, bringing more joy and fun into every interaction that I have.
Yes, I love that. It's such a great reminder that we can be deep and playful at the same time. They're not mutually exclusive. I pointed out because I know for myself, and maybe for some of you are like me, because I'm very deep, and then I tend to be very serious most of the time, which is not a bad thing, but like there can be playfulness and depth together.
When it's appropriate, but yeah. So yeah, it's been really, I never thought to use these techniques before, but it was really good. Just something to, I had a breakthrough through that call, and just it was really good. Yeah.
I love it. So happy to hear it. And thanks for sharing your experience with us. Super helpful. Dottie.
Hey everybody. I just noticed for me with dreams, which has been really enlightening and fun, is instead of trying to figure out what the whole dream meant, it's just to pick that one element that stands out and focus on that. So it's been, I don't know what the word is, fun and less complex, which I helps me to simplify things.
I love that, and it's such a great point. I mean, it can be really helpful to look at dreams as a whole, but there's so much richness in each element, and you can gain so much meaning and insight and even next action steps just by looking at just one piece and one element of it. I had a, an ex I'll just share with all of you. I had an experience like that just early this morning with a dream. I woke up, I had this whole dream, and I didn't remember any of it, but I just remembered, it wasn't even an image. I remembered something that I said to myself in the dream, just the last sentence, which I'm definitely going to be working with, even though I don't remember the rest of the dream. And the last sentence, you'll all laugh, was, sometimes it might be better to be more mother hen than alpha. That was the sentence that I remembered. So I feel like just that alone, I've got places to go with that without the rest of the dream. Thanks, Dottie. Solveig.
I was just thinking about one thing I noticed in my client work since our last session was taking extra time and giving in, like, I do a lot of group work. And so in my group work, spending, having participants spend more time on an exercise and then say, and then inviting in that conversation of allowing them to go deeper, which I felt like I really took away from our last time. I mean, I've taken that away several times, but it really, really was emphasized, I think, in our last session. And it's been neat to see that with folks I've been working with too, that I think there is that, like, just me taking another beat and not being uncomfortable, like, oh, they're probably bored or whatever kinds of stories happen in my mind around this, has been really neat. And I want to just keep doing that. So I'm glad it just came to me while we were talking here and I wanted to name it.
I'm so glad that you're naming it, and so well done. And I know it does take a little stretchiness at first because of all of our ideas about, you know, I have to, like, go quicker and there has to be more. And yet again, I know we keep on coming back to this, but I cannot emphasize enough, like, less is more. And especially in group work, people tend more to stuff their curriculums when really the best work happens when there is less in the curriculum and there's more space to go deep with fewer things. That's where the movement comes from. Not just giving more information and more insight and more next steps and all the things. Human beings can only process and take in so much and act on so much at a time, right? So not just in our one-on-one work, but in our group work as well, thinking about going deeper but with less almost always will produce more of the results that we want, that our clients want.
So. That's beautiful. Yeah. And I also want to just name repetition too, because I think there's I noticed you do that, and we did that a bit last time with the dream work of going back in, or the images going back into them, right? Or like everybody's saying, like, we had to do a third time, you know, or whatever, like that was really interesting. And I felt like it was a big takeaway for me, maybe even for myself, right? Like not only in my own work, but in myself, to go back and look at something again and again and again and take some more time. Like that was really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if you see this, sometimes you'll see something new, but again, even if you see the same thing as you did before, it's an opportunity to embody it in a deeper level. Yeah. It doesn't always have to be new breakthroughs. Thanks for that. I'll also just toss this other piece. It's kind of related, but like riffing on what you just said, Solveig, that we've all touched on in a number of ways already in the program, but it's something that's really been on my mind a lot lately, which is that, you know, I always say like there's always kind of two threads happening when we're coaching, whether it's one-on-one or group. It's like the goals that we've been hired, and then the other thread is just the new kind of ways of being that our clients learn just from being in the container with us. And the slower that we can be, not that we want to be like snail slow, but the more space that we can give around things, the slower in some ways that we can be, and the more that we bring that energy, remember it, in the container, we're co-regulating with our clients. And so aside from the content of the curriculum or of the conversation, the space and the slowness itself is supporting the client to regulate and learn, just groove deeper patterning around regulation, which just in and of itself is so valuable. I feel like somebody, and Rose, I'll get to your hand raised in a moment, but I feel like there might be a like follow-up comment on that from anyone or anything that wants to be added to that piece. Anyone else want to add or share on that? Angie.
Yeah, it's, I just had this really important retreat, and it was one of the biggest lessons for me as a facilitator and a teacher and a leader was seeing the space. Cause I ended up taking almost all of the curriculum away in this really intentional, beautiful way. And the thing I saw it do, especially for these really powerful women who have the capacity to take up so much space and pretty much always feel like they're in danger of taking up too much of it, I saw the power of giving them as much space as they needed change their relationship to the value of their contribution, especially in a group. Yeah. So I'm still going to be learning a lot about that, because it's an edge I'm at that I didn't even know. I was like, I do lots of space. Nope, there's still more. There's still more, even within a contained environment. So yeah.
I love that. I love that other element that you're bringing in of this permission to take up more space. So it's not just the space in between the words or the ideas, but it's this concept of taking up space. When I first learned ritual, we always used to say, take up as much space as you need. And, you know, it speaks so much also to like all of the messaging around there's only so much space you can take up, and our containers being corrective. Again, that other thread that's always running through aside from the content. Beautiful. Thank you. Kelsey, is your hand raised around this or around something else?
This. Yeah, I just think about, I've been really thinking about my 12-week course, and I feel like it could really be probably three 12-week courses. But I just love that, because I think people coming into my work, they're part of the busy, busy, busy work life. And it's just another reminder, especially the like co-regulation piece and just the repetition piece, that me rushing is just matching the energy of the workplace that they're actually trying to slow down and change. And so I have to really be that risk taker and model the slowness in a new way. So
yes, yes, I love that. And you can also make that connection for them too. You can absolutely share that this is what you're doing, you know, in the container with them. Bruce, is this about current topic or different?
Current topic. I would just, what I've noticed in taking more time is it's a little bit related to what Kelsey said, but just people are so eager for rest. And when you slow things down, there's a rest that actually allows for more imagination. We think about getting ramped up in order to imagine, but actually imagination happens when you slow down. So I'm just really appreciating the just how slow you can go and how much rest you can get and still accomplish a lot.
Yes. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I love that imagination happens when you slow down. So true. That's why we dream at night. Thanks, Bruce.
Just, and also one other thing, I did, some of the people on this screen were in a gift thing I did last week, and it was fully more than a third of what I usually do, I didn't do. And I realized what a good job you've done in slowing, building a culture of slowness. So I really appreciated that. Really appreciated that. Yeah.
Thanks for that. Taking that in. By the way, just so that there's no myth of perfection or pedestals, I definitely am always working on it in my own life and don't achieve the same thing as in the containers that I lead. Rose.
Well, I love hearing all these comments because they actually relate to what I'm commenting on and just helps me have a deeper appreciation of what I've been, I guess, working with, which is deepening and slowing. And as someone who has lived in the past, life at a pretty hectic pace, I really recognize, I see the fear that was embedded in all that, you know, around just busyness and achievement. And there's just so much fear of what the space will offer, like what might be uncovered. And, you know, the big takeaway from last time was about soul work. And, you know, it's like I've been a part-time soul worker, you know, this busy achievement-oriented life with this deep track of soul work always that I've been doing for many, many decades. But it's all come above ground now. I feel like, you know, I've surfaced, I've, you know, come out. And now the soul work is the work I do. And so it's so learning what this is about for me is still a big lesson all every day. And from last time, I did a lot of work around honoring my sister, and we did work on owning our voice. And I've just been feeling shifts in that, like this deep reflection I did with before posting about my sister on two different platforms. It just came from my soul. It did, you know, it wasn't about, it was honoring the life, the soul of this beautiful sister that I lost. And it changed me by doing that. I mean, I can just feel how, like, it just drops in when we go slow and honor. And then this past week, with, you know, doing Core Gifts with Bruce, was part of the same work. Like, some things just like clicked in. It's like, oh, like clarity. And so as I go back home this week, Wednesday, to honor my sister again with family who is hurting for many other reasons, but I get to bring this soul work with me and my core gifts to know that that's what I'm there to do, is help them. Mm-hmm. And so it's just really been, I don't know, it's showing up in my clients. I'm offering like a deep dive when they renew with me. And one of them is going to go forest bathing with me. And we're going to, she says, I don't know how to connect with the earth. And so we're going to connect with the earth. So it just all feels, I haven't pulled any cards and my dreams or whatever, but it's all part of this rich claiming of why I'm here and why I'm so happy to be part of this group, to be able to speak this. You know, it's just so, such a gift you offer, Joy.
So many chills from all that you're sharing. And I love that you're able to go to your family with your core gifts and with this spaciousness and this slowness. And one of the things that you said that really struck me is by having more space and going slower, it allowed you to share in a different way. And you said, and that changed me. And I'm underscoring that for you and for all of us. Sometimes we think it's the flashy, sexy breakthroughs that change us. And sometimes they do, for sure. But it's also like the different quality of being and pacing and allowing of our being and soul that can change us on such profound levels. Thank you. Who else? Who wants to share how it's been going for you or for clients with dreams, with cards, with imagery, with soul work, or if you've been wanting to either with yourself or clients but haven't been getting to it, what's been stopping you or what's important to take a look at there? Anyone else want to share? Angie.
Hi, everybody. It's so good to be back. It feels like a million years. So I wasn't at this particular retreat and haven't watched the replays. And yet, in just... So Kelsey and I are accountability buddies, and so we talked about it, and just the little bit that she shared and transmitted from her experience, and just that little bit and this little bit from this conversation have already been so rich. So one thing that has blown me away is I have been dreaming in ways I haven't dreamed in a long time, just since that conversation with her and just since all of you met together and talked about dreams. So I don't know what that's all about, but
you're it's in just the opened. Container.
right. It just opened this floodgate. So I'm really excited to play with these things. And I wasn't expecting, I remembered that you had mentioned the connection to the cards and using the same work, but I'm really excited about that. I do use cards with my clients, but not consistently and not with a whole lot of, like, it's just been very loose and open, which I like, but it feels like this is going to give me just a little more masculine to shore up my feminine in that structure. Particular. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited about that. It's also the other connection I made is metaphor has always been like metaphor just makes sense to me. My mind thinks in metaphor. I make connections and make meaning naturally in that way. I mean, I think a lot of us do. So it feels like this is really going to marry that in a cool way, again, of giving just a little more direction and a little more structure for thinking about metaphor and how to use that with my clients. So I'm looking forward to that. What else? I think the other thing I was going to share was about the retreat and about the amount of space and the lessons that I've learned here and how they drew out there and just celebrating with all of you because you've been on this journey of this thing happening. So this is this was my first in-person retreat for my big program that I launched this year. Y'all, it was just the most magic ever. And it's bringing me to these edges of, I'm so excited for my next one-on-one with Joanna because I've got some things to talk about. It just has brought the parts of why I signed up to do this experience. Like I have realized that so much of my coaching has stayed in the cognitive because that was really safe. And I knew how to do that. And I have a big, beautiful brain. And so do my people. And just this retreat combined with this journey we've been on together is just showing me that that is the like subterranean otherworldly part is where I'm really the most powerful. And that I've got some really big feelings about claiming all of that. And it just feels ridiculous to me, but also inevitable. So just mostly thank you to all of you for holding that space, and Joanna for these ways of, this is the wrong word, but it's the realist world is legitimizing all of that. Like, there's something about being able to name it in the way you do and work with it in these like explicit ways that helps some of my parts be like, maybe that's not all just made up mumbo jumbo. Maybe there's maybe there's something there. So yeah, those are my
I'm so glad your retreat now. Went so well. It sounds like it was amazing, not just for the participants, but for you and your leadership and your evolution and settling more deeply into all of you. I'm so, so happy to hear it. You mentioned metaphor, and we didn't get a chance at our retreat to go too deep into this, but it is another part of imagery that I wanted to make sure we spoke about. So we spoke a lot at the retreat about imagery by way of dreams or cards, but I wanted to also just remind everybody that oftentimes when we're just in regular conversation with our clients, through the words that they use without even realizing it, they will generate imagery. They may say something like, oh, that felt like a bird singing a love song, or it felt like I was engulfed in a circle, or that was like walking the plank when I had to do that, right? So images, just in everyday conversation with our clients, will either come up organically, or sometimes when we ask a question like, how did that feel? Or what did that look like? An image will come up. And the reason why I'm putting that out is because that's a place where we can use and leverage to go deeper with the client, to find more meaning, to find more connections, to create more awareness, to create breakthroughs, and also to connect the client with their body and that spaciousness more. So for example, you know, if a client says something like, you know, oh, that reminded me of a bird singing a love song. Well, we can take that image as an example and apply the befriend your fear process to that, obviously not with a fear, but to connect in with that bird singing the love song. Where are you holding that bird in your body? How does that bird feel in your body? What is it that that bird wants you to know? What is that love song about? Etc. So we can do a BYF with any of that organically generated imagery. We can do a choose your own shadow adventure with any of that imagery. Put yourself into the body of the bird. Look out through the bird's eyes. What does it see? What's the impulse? If that bird could do or say anything next, from the real to the fantastical, what would it want? Or insert that bird into the situation in the room with that conversation with your sister that, you know, we were just talking about, right? What does the bird want? So we can, either through like more of a process like befriend your fear or choose your own, you could even, I haven't done this, but it's just coming to me, like you could even journal from the different parts of the branch and journal from the voice and journal from the color red of the feathers. That might yield something as well. But it could also just be in conversation, like, what does that bird want to tell you, right? It doesn't have to be, okay, connect into the body, you know, if you want to kind of on the sly get some stuff from there. So I just want to remind all of you that images are being generated in conversation, or we can ask questions to help generate the imagery. How did that feel? What did that look like? If that was a visual, what would it be? And then we can use that as a jumping point for more. Anything that wants to be said more on this piece? Lisa.
this piece related to what was just shared or my takeaways?
If it's takeaways and what's been happening since last retreat, I'll come back to you. I was asking specifically on like metaphors and generating
images. You can come back to me then.
Yeah, I'll come right back. Solveig, is this on this last piece or something different?
It's on the last piece.
Awesome.
Okay. I just wanted your advice as this was coming up. I'm curious for your advice or anyone else's. I have a client who's having if this is not the right time for this, let me know. But I have a client who's having a really hard time and she speaks in metaphor all the time. So I was like, oh, this is. And one of the things, I mean, without getting into the whole thing, that she says in several sessions now is that she's drowning, and she's saying it over and over again, that she's drowning. And I've been trying a lot of tools trying to support her and also worrying about her, honestly, like outside of the container of the coaching session. And I'm just curious if you have any sort of intuitive nudges right off or anything, if you've encountered someone who uses that language a lot and is also like, when she talks about what's happening in her world, like I understand why she's saying that. Anything that comes through, because it is a pretty powerful metaphor and it is definitely something she's saying a lot.
Yeah. When you say you're worried about her, can you just share why?
Yeah. In our last session, she said she sort of made a, like, I'm not sure if I should be here in the world statement. And so then I checked in on her that night and I checked in on her the next day and she seemed like she was doing better, but I was like, those are some, you know, if I don't know, you know, I think sometimes we just need to say things to say them, but also that worries me a lot. And anyways, I mean, we've spoken in metaphor a lot. She uses a lot of metaphor and I feel like I've been doing a like really good job of following her metaphors. But that one, I was like, okay, I don't think she's suicidal, but I do know that she's having a really, really hard time. And if this is not the place to talk about this, it's okay. But it was like a very powerful metaphor that I've been like, how do I support her more? And what would Joanna do?
No. But that's why I was asking, because when you said the drowning and you said you were worried for her, that's why I just wanted to know if that was an element of it. And even though it's not, we'll look at other pieces in a second, but this first piece is important just for all of us, for our awareness. So obviously within the scope of coaching, you know, it's not in our scope to support someone who is suicidal, but what is in our scope and our responsibility, and it sounds, Solveig, like you've gone there, and I wonder if there's might even be a little bit further to go, I'm not sure. And if you want separate, you can share more details, but what is within our scope and our responsibility is to create awareness with the client if they need outside support.
Okay, I did do that. Yeah,
because okay. I was like, so I just want it just for all of us, since the topic came up, it feels important to share, right? Even though it's not in our scope to work directly with it, it is in our scope and our responsibility to create awareness. And it sounds like you did it also, because this is an important piece, you did it in a beautiful way without shaming. You know, you said sometimes we just say it just because we need to express it. I've certainly been there before, I know for myself, you know, and I would share that with a client as well, if, you know, and then to just, you know, really look and sometimes even directly ask the question, you know, do you sense that this is something that you could really use support with? Do you feel like you're in a place where you need more help with this?
Mm-hmm. And I think her answer is yes, and she's getting it. So I feel good about that.
So well done. Thanks. So well done. And I'm glad that you brought this up just for everybody's learning. It's really so important. Okay, so that element aside, okay, so, well, before we put it aside, and what I'm about to say next isn't the truth with a capital T, it's my truth, so everybody check it out for yourself. Considering that is at play for her, I personally might not play with the drowning metaphor.
Yeah, I haven't yet. Yeah, okay.
Because it might hit a little bit too close to home and bring up some other pieces that would be out of scope. So with that at play, I wouldn't. If another person or that person at another time brings up the drowning metaphor and there isn't that worry or that concern that, you know, they want to end their life or anything like that, then I think then we can use the drowning metaphor. Like that can be at play in the coaching. And you can use it very much like we use the cards or the dreams. So what is it that the water, and I may not start with the drowning person per se, I might start with the water, with the waves. Is there any, you know, when they see that image in their mind, is there anything else that they see, and kind of maybe see what the different elements have to say. If you feel like it would be valuable to go there, what would the drowning person have to say as well? So that's one way you can work it. Another way you could work it is the choose your own. So if you could do or say anything and you knew that it would be okay no matter what, from the real to the fantastical, what is the impulse here? Sorry, I just had something else in mind and you could dialogue, you could also do like a BYF where you dialogue with, but I would be clear on the highest version of the one drowning or the highest wisdom of the one drowning to see what is it that they want you to know, how would they like to move forward, etc. Without that like highest expression or highest wisdom, they might collapse into the drowning emotion. So you're still like leaning in, but you're leaning in from that highest expression place.
Okay, thank you for that. Yeah, we have gotten so far as, and she created like, I need a lifeline. And she created that as in what we've done so far. But then it's sort of, I mean, I think she's in a tough place. So like that, you know, the lifeline, last thing she said was the lifeline's not working. And I'm like, okay.
So her separate situation aside, that's brilliant. Yeah. Right. And I love that she came up with the idea of the lifeline. And also us as practitioners, we can add to images as well. Like, okay, you're drowning. You know, what I would love is for a lifeline to be thrown to you. You know, can you imagine that? And then what would that be, et cetera, et cetera. So we can also add those elements in as practitioners and play and see how that works for our clients.
Yeah, and just to add, as we're talking about this, it's also occurring to me that you know, now if she's like, well, that lifeline didn't work, there can always be another lifeline, right? Like there can be more lifelines.
Lifelines that you can add to the image. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks for thinking about that a little bit with me. I think I might try the choose your shadow practice next, because we haven't done that and there might be something there. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. Also in a situation like that, again, her situation aside, but if we use this example of the lifeline, but you can think of it for other metaphors too. If it's like, oh, that's not working. Sometimes it's think about coaching questions. What is a lifeline? What would the lifeline need to be moored to in order for it to be more effective? So you can kind of look at, use all your coaching skills when you're working with images and metaphors. Awesome. Thanks for that case study. Kim, were you gonna respond on the metaphors or on something separate?
On the metaphors.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of realizing in a concrete way how it almost doesn't matter. And this kind of came up last week in the core gifts thing. Doesn't matter what the questions are. It doesn't matter what the image is. It doesn't matter. And giving myself the ability to go with whatever is or whatever comes up, because just following the thread touches into what needs to come forward, right? And sometimes I get caught in thinking, oh, well, I don't know if that's good enough to get where we need to go, you know, and it doesn't matter. And I appreciate just listening here to how much it doesn't matter, because the wisdom's in there and wants to come forward.
I'm so glad you're bringing this forward. It is so true. Like, there's so many different threads that can still lead the client where they want to go. And I think for us as practitioners, don't judge the threads too much. Go with what comes up. And part of that is trusting the client is whole and complete, the process is whole and complete, right? Like, the more we trust that, then we'll trust whatever comes up.
And trusting that I am able to go with what, you know, that I'm whole and complete and being able to do that, and not trying to think, well, what am I supposed to do here? You know, it's more of what needs to come forward, and how do I move with that more? Sometimes, especially if I think, oh, I need the steps for a befriend your fear process. I don't. If I really understand it, I can go with what, you know, that direction, not okay, what am I supposed to do now?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Lisa.
So I just want to do a check-in, accountability check-in. And just remind people that at the retreat, something that really went into my heart was that comment about not letting breakthroughs gather dust in your journal, and how I can, you know, it's easy for me to get these insights, but then neglect nurturing them and like bringing myself back to them. And I've been having all these dreams and images around bones and shells. And so I'm really revisiting the foundational structures of my life and seeing to what extent they are or are not really supportive of, you know, where I want to go and how I want to step into my full power. So one of the things that I've done is, it's very interesting. I sat with my Google Calendar and time blocked, and it felt really good to be consciously and proactively making space for this soul work, right? The soul work, and then how it's going to then outpicture into my, what's that? Soul work, my active life, right? And one incredible insight was, it's amazing when I sat down to really look at the time available. There's not as much time available in a day or in a week than I think in my head. And it's really interesting. And there are certain things that I've been doing routinely that when I really think about it, they're not really supportive, you know, like binging on Netflix, you know, for a couple hours every night. And so the point is, I'm just being accountable to the group. I realize I had this insight that the container that I have created for my own self needs to be tightened. And so I'm just looking at that and meditating on that. And I'm at a place where I with my buddy Elijah, I'm needing like pressure, like healthy pressure to actually birth my potential, like, and so we came up with the image that we're making diamonds, because, you know, to create a diamond, you need that pressure, and that's where I feel like I'm at. So that's it. That's my check-in.
I'm so glad you're checking in and holding yourself accountable. A couple things to toss your way, if it's helpful. Number one, I love that you ended it with an image, since we're talking about images and soul. And so if it's valuable, I would daily or a couple times a week interact with the diamond.
Good idea.
Yeah, you can journal from it. Doesn't have to take more than 3-4 minutes, right? Journal from the voice of the diamond. Find where you hold the diamond in your body, you know, whatever it is for you. But speaking of not letting a breakthrough gather dust, like be in active engagement with that beautiful metaphor that you created for what the energy that you need in your life right now.
As you were speaking, and I think maybe you're not done, but as you were speaking, I saw, because I'm also stepping into my queen power, right? And I saw the queen with a crown with this friggin' huge diamond right in the middle of it. So I think that's the image.
I love it. I love it, right? And that's like another one of the tools of the queen in her leadership. Yeah, so bring that relationship with that crown, with the diamond in it, bring that more alive and active and conscious for you consistently over the next weeks. And I don't know if this is an element of accountability that you want or not, but I love all of the, like, all of the awarenesses. And I'm also wondering if you have found time and space to put in your calendar for the soul time, or do you need a nudge right now to actually make some choices about priorities and get it in there?
It's in there. I think it's in there. Okay. Now it's I've made the plan. Now it's, you know, implementing the plan, and then I'll need to get feedback from how I'm working the plan and iterate, you know what I mean? It's in there. Maybe the next time we're together, you know, I'll have a little bit more insight about where I am and am not able to, you know, implement my plan.
Okay, beautiful. If it makes sense and Elijah is willing, I'd ask her to hold a little bit of a tighter container over the next couple of weeks for you, just to for you to do maybe some frequent email check-ins on when it's happening and when it's not happening, when you got to it and when you didn't.
Daily Voxer. Daily Voxer check-ins is what we're doing for each other. Yeah.
Good. Awesome. So well done. Yay. Anything else that anyone wants to share? All right. I want to share something with all of you. I've never shared this before. This is, all these years has been my own private little piece of soul work, but I felt called to share it at our last retreat, and then I didn't for what, you know, a little bit time and a little bit, I wasn't 100% sure it would be valuable, but as I've been thinking on it, I feel like it will at least be valuable for some of you, and so I wanted to kind of share it as one of my soul work practices. Now, this is a soul work tool that I use, and that I don't think it's meant to be done frequently. It's not like an every week thing. I do it a couple times a year. And I should have taken a picture of it, but I didn't. So I'm gonna show you on the screen an example of one of them. It's related to imagery and soul connection. Can you all see this on the screen? So I love to do this. I'm always creating, just drawing spirals, big spirals, little spirals. There's something very meditative for me in, and space creating for me and soul connecting for me just in creating, just drawing spirals. But what I started doing a few years ago, every now and again, is I draw the spiral, and then without thinking about what I'm going to write beforehand, I write soul prayers into the spiral all around. I know I'll read the words to you, but just if you see the visual, see there's like words all written around the spiral. Now, so this is a little time consuming. It takes about 30 minutes or so, which it should be, along with this conversation that we've been having today around space and creating containers to just have space and take up more space and be with our souls. And, you know, in this case for me, it's about being with my soul prayers. And I will share that everything that I write in these things, it's, again, it's nothing new. It is not new, but it is a deeper embodiment. The other thing I'll share is without fail, when I do this, I turn off phones and I don't do it in front of the computer, and I just have that time to be with the image of the spiral. And even the writing helps me because I'm turning the paper as I'm doing it, like I'm kind of in that spiral feeling. Without fail, I walk out of that 20, 30, 40 minutes feeling such a sense of spaciousness and contentment and openness and readiness, and also inspiration, because the words that come through are usually inspirational. So I'll read to you what I wrote on this one. I always start from the inside and then write out. Let me find meaning in life. Let me have purpose and contribute. Let me be in warm community and have loving relationships. Let me feel connected to spirit, feel spirit all around me, guiding me. Let me feel connected to my soul. Let me feel alive. Let me know and experience holiness and sacredness. Let me know I am enough and my life is enough. Let me value kindness over money and positive impact over success. Let me feel contentment and satisfaction. Let me be a good mother and the right mother to each of my children. Let me know tenderness, compassion, and real love for myself and for others. Let me be kind and generous and do good in the world. Let me have patience. Let me be positive. Let me find joy in everyday things. Let me make the most of each day. Let me be useful. Let me lift others up. Let me honor the earth and feel connected to her every day. Let me be more curious and open. Let me honor the mystery and be grateful for everything I have. So I read that quick, but it took a while to just write each of the letters out and be with it and be in that spiral and be in that regulated container of the image of the time and then the image. For me, what do y'all think? What is this sparking for you, or what ideas is this bringing up for you, Naomi?
I wanted to say that that's actually one of my practices too. But I haven't done it in ages, so thank you for the reminder. And interestingly enough, I always start my words from the outside in. Mm-hmm. So I was also curious about the language of let me be. I find my language is often may I be. So I just want to pose that question of how, yeah, the let me be, what that brings for you.
I think that particular day, that's what came through. And then because I'm like a word alliteration person, and the first sentence started with let me, and then they all followed, but I don't actually think I consciously made that decision. I just realized it a couple of sentences in. And what I would just say is work, whatever comes through energetically through your soul, you know, whatever, however that prayer wants to go for you in that moment, that's what's right.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's such a powerful practice. And the spiral shows up in so many ways in nature. When we look at a fern, how it begins before it opens. And in New Zealand, there's something called, that's actually a big symbol. They use jade a lot. The Maori folks use jade and create jade spirals. So thank you for bringing that image into our session.
Yeah, you're welcome. I love it that you already have that practice as well. Who else? What is this sparking for you? Or what are other ideas? Is this sparking for you? Or what is this bringing up?
I just love the, again, more opportunities to be playful and not to give it so much thought, but just to, like, you know, I've never seen this before and I'm like, whoa, I'm going to try this. It's so, you know, more ways to play with our soul. So I loved it.
I'm so glad. Yeah. And my invitation to everyone is, if this feels resonant for you, is to give yourself a half hour of just, and if it's not the spiral, if it you can do it as a heart, you know, like choose whatever shape feels resonant for you, but to play with it. Leah.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, I love the idea that you're turning the paper, like that it's not linear. Like, I just feel like that would open up some different thought to just be working with the spiral. I just feel like that could really open up something different for people other than the usual that might come through,
right,
as you're,
just the...
you know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's almost like for me, it almost feels like I'm traveling the journey of the spiral as I turn the page. Yeah.
Love that.
Rose.
I love the intentionality of this because, you know, whether it's deciding to be with the soul in this way or creating time blocks like Lisa talked about, it's like saying, you are important, you matter to me. And that's what I left with on after our last retreat, is soul work matters, you know, my soul matters. So in order to like show up for my soul, it'll show the soul that I mean it, that it's true. So,
yeah, I'm so glad that you're bringing that forward again, because it's such an important piece. Like when I do this, it's not to get a new idea for my business. It's not even to have a personal breakthrough or have a new piece of information come through. Although, as Bruce said earlier, like slowing down does activate imagination. But the purpose of this is simply just to be with myself and my soul and my soul prayer, and like have that space to play in that way. And like Rose just said, and I don't know that this is a fact, but I believe this, it's and Jung said it similarly with dreams, like to let the soul know that it matters. It will express itself more and make itself more known the more it knows that it matters. Yeah, Rose.
There was a one on Bruce's 2 days for core gifts. There was, I can't remember the guy's name, Bruce, but there was somebody, there was a YouTube clip of, and he talked about that if we don't pay attention to our core gift, which is our soul, I mean, it comes from our soul, then we get sick. I mean, that we, you know, so there's that energetic aliveness that is required, that in order to have that aliveness, we've got to show up for it. So this is great. I love it.
Who else? Anyone else want to share? Or anyone else want to share any of your soul tools or practices? Bruce.
Well, I'm really captivated by that, practice, Joanna, and I can't get away from the idea of starting in the center and working towards the edges, but keeping writing until it leaves the labyrinth and just goes out. There's something wonderful about it not being contained and going out in further. I love that idea. I was worried if I started at the outside and worked towards the center, I'd still have more when I got to that center and I'd be frustrated. Yeah, so I like the image of that a lot. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, and I love what you're bringing in about how it's to be continued to, like, there's more. It's not an end. It's just kind of not contained. Leah.
I don't know if any of you have ever used what's called a soul scribble. But I think this, I use it quite a bit, and I use it with clients. So you take a question or something you're wanting more information from, write it at the top of the page, and then you close your eyes and you scribble all over the page. So you just keep scribbling until you feel like you've scribbled enough. And then you look at the scribble and you see what images pop out of the scribble, and you can highlight the, you know, they're more like stick figure kind of things that pop out, but so many cool things that pop out. And then you work with those images that come out to feel what the images are trying to say to you, or what words come through, or what message these images have. And it's such a easy, fun, another way to do what we've been doing. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I'm so glad you're sharing that. So I'm excited to experiment with myself on that too. It's such another great way of self-generated imagery. And then from the soul and from the inner being, and then, like Kim was saying before, you can work with anything, right? Like, and then making meaning with that and using that to lead towards wherever the person is wanting to go, wherever the client is wanting to go. I love that. And is it, so you'll use it with just any kind of goal that the client wants, or a new kind of pattern or habit or way of being? Is it usually like goal and vision oriented, or are there other ways that you've used it?
Mainly it's just, I've just used it in mostly group work stuff to just help people connect in with whatever they're working on to get new information about it.
Great. So it can be used in groups too. Good.
Yeah. It's called a soul scribble. I think someone in the chat was asking.
Awesome. I love it. Thank you. Who else? Anyone else have any imagery or soul practices or anything else that you want to share that this conversation is sparking? Rose.
I just realized that I have been trying a new technique, and it's just right over here, and I'll get it. It's called neurographic art. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's the idea where if you have an emotion or feeling that you draw intuitively from one side of the page to the other, and without picking up your implement, and it creates this, and then you soften the corners of every intersection. So it ends up looking like synapses. And it's just 1 second.
I get it.
So I happened to find it on Pinterest when I was doing an imagery board, and so I just did my own, and I wrote on the back, I was anxious about the future. And So I just was feeling into, you go from one side of the page to the other, and you can, and this is a variation where you might do a circle, but if you look closer, there's no sharp corners. And the experience was incredibly meditative. And by the end, and then you can color it or not. I started another one, but they look like they're, you know, synapses. If you look at the nervous system, it's like this softening of the nervous system that I'm just, so this is kind of a new experiment that I've just tried.
I love it. They're so beautiful, first of all.
And they inevitably turn out beautiful. You cannot make one that's not beautiful. Mm-hmm. And seriously, they're really, it's quite gratifying.
What did you call it, Rose?
It's called neurographic art. And you can go on YouTube and see, there's not a lot of information about it, but it's a Russian psychiatrist who invented this in 2015. There's not a lot out there about it, but it you'll see it's kind of out there.
So Rose used the word meditative. And again, I just wanna bring forward this idea that, like, yes, there's the content that might come out of it, but there's the there's that regulation that happens from being in the process, which is just so valuable, and our souls need that. Angie.
So this is connected and part of my own accountability. It sounds like there was a big conversation last time about soul work. So I'm excited to go back and listen to that. One of the things that was mirrored to me, I mean, I was observing myself, but then the container of the retreat really just like shone a spotlight on it. Is that although what I do is, and just who I be, is very deep soul work, I was always serving it up with a big dose of eye roll, internal eye roll, snarky tone of voice, like just like cutting it a bit, especially if it was something that felt really big or really edgy or really like into the like psychic realm, like anything into that, I was just slicing it. And that was one of my commitments coming out of the retreat was, and my clients, we created a metaphorical eye roll jar for me that I have to pay into if I eye roll along with that, like a swear jar. And I guess what I want to name is just wanting to be more accountable in this group for not eye rolling soul work. And my power in that. And then I'm excited to see, like, if I am this powerful in that way with eye roll protection, what is going to be possible without eye roll protection? And really seeing it as that there's this part of me that just eye rolls to be like, but I don't really believe it. So you can't, like, nobody can say anything to me. I can't fail. This can't be like found out.
Right. You can't criticize me or poke a hole. Right. It's such a powerful, what you're talking about is, again, and also a powerful reminder of energy follows energy too. How you're showing up and the energy that you bring to it absolutely impacts how it's received.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. I feel like that's another next piece of claiming more of your brilliance and your power. To do it without the eye roll.
Yeah.
Thank you. Simona.
It was interesting because when you said, did anything that from this conversation spark something that you'd want to share? I was going to share some of my tools, but what Andy just shared was the thing I most needed to understand. So thank you, Andy. Because I have been uncharacteristically quiet because I know that we can learn from anyone and any time. And I have you know, obviously I've been sitting with Joanna now 2 years and I hope to be sitting with her longer still. And yet, so I was like, okay, what can you learn here? What can you learn here? The whole retreat. But I'm like, why are we learning about soul work? And I didn't really realize, Andy, until you said that, because I don't know why, but I've, since I was a child, like way young, before anyone could ever tell me that this wasn't real, like, I, you know, and maybe it's partly because I can see color and I can see energy and I can know my dreams and I can understand and interpret other people's dreams since I was little, like none of this was, like, I just thought this was just something that we all know and that we've all been doing our whole lives. And like every day I create ritual and it's like part of my kid, like, I mean, literally every day. And so I was like, why are we learning about this? So as you said, the eye roll thing, I was like, oh, that's why we're learning about this. And I mean, obviously I'm taking notes and I'm like, how can I, what's the clinical application, or like, how can I do this as a practitioner? How can I take what I'm learning? But I've been struggling and struggling, and I now fully understand that it's the water I swim in. And it, I had no idea until you just said that, that's just something, you, I guess, the water I swim in, it's not the water that we all swim in. It's just, it's super obvious now, but it was, my mind is blown, actually.
I'm so glad that came through. It feels important. I can feel it's important for you in your understanding and also in your celebrating yourself, you know. And again, what I'm about to say isn't scientific, but I think that innate knowing that you were talking about, that you have, I actually think we all have it, you know, whatever it is. It's just, have we been disconnected from it? Have we been messaged out of it, you know, or have we stayed connected to the knowing of how important and rich this, the experience is of this kind of being?
Yeah. I agree with you that we all have access to it. But what I just didn't realize is that it's super obvious, but yeah, it's cool. It's cool. So I would love to share a couple of things that sparked for me that I was going to share, which are all a little bit eclectic, but they were what bounced. Well, when Solvay brought in the water, and this is, it just reminded me, and if it's a tool that's helpful, but it's, and I know many of us think about elements, but when we, if we think about elements in all situations, like, it's super fascinating if you really think about water and like, and just start to notice like, well, what is that linked to? So for me, like, as I pay attention to elements and water, it links to emotions. And a lot of times what I'm noticing is if someone has an out of balance water element, they might start to drink, or someone has like an out of balance earth element, they might start to overshop or turn to sex or masturbate. I mean, just, you know, and if you think about elements in terms of like how they can express in the body and how they can express in our dreams and how you can express, like, and then it kind of helps, almost like a clue, like, okay, well, I can put my attention a little bit here. If it's water, it might not be, it's like a hypothesis to be held loosely, but like, if it's water, a hypothesis to be held loosely, is there some emotions or some unconscious, not ready to look at-ness, or, you know, just so any of that, to just bring it back to an element and then like a hypothesis as like to be held loosely to that. And which totally brought me to an entirely different bounce, because you said what was bouncing, and that was one of the things that was bouncing. And I think, again, these are things that we know, but as we're going to do our client work, another, it's like soul work / client work, is to, you know, tend to our space really powerfully. Like, we tend to the container of our coaching container, of course, but to tend to the space that we are coaching from, like the physical space that we're coaching from, and then back to the elements, like to like grounding cords into the space and clearing the space and just really making holiness everything that we bring. So these were just things that bounced in my head in terms of like, when you said, did something bounce? Like, it wasn't really soul work. It was just, as I've been listening to what all that you're teaching and noticing how to apply it into coaching, it's like, well, there is the piece, is like to just bring that soul work, that connection to our environment in a way that like holds us while we're holding the space. So those were the things that popped for me.
I love that. And I think it's so true. Our environment impacts us so much. And so how can we like harness the environment or set the environment, whatever it is? If energy follows energy between us and our clients, energy follows energy with our environments as well. So how can we really, I love the word that you use, tend to the environment. Mm. Although I have to say, as you were talking, it was reminding me, I was thinking about, and this will be helpful too. When my kids were really small, sometimes for coaching sessions, we lived in a small one bedroom in Brooklyn, and I'd have to hide in the bathroom to do coaching sessions sometimes. But so that environment wasn't great, but I'm sharing it because I love what you're saying about environment. And even if we can't change the environment, it's like whatever we're environment in when we're supporting our clients, how can we make it our own and take up space in it and be in alignment no matter what that environment is, even if it's a locked bathroom where you're hiding from your children.
Love that. That's cool. But yes, I agree.
Thanks, Simona. I love that you brought the elements in as well. Anything else? Well, no, I'm not going to ask anything else. We've got 4 minutes left. What are you taking from our time together today? I'd love for everyone to take a moment. We've looked at a lot of different pieces. And hopefully everybody is taking exactly what they need from the time together today. What are you taking from our time together today? And I'd love to hear some takeaways. And actually, I'll add to that. What are you taking away, and what's one action, one thing that you'd like to do based on anything that's come through today, whatever that is for you? Something that would feel valuable. You'd like to share, what are you taking away, or what is your action?
Well, I was kind of surprised that we had this today, because it feels like we just finished it. Our retreat was during a time where I had my family visiting, and it was chaos, and it was just in the middle of that, and I left to go do that, but I came back to that for another week and a half, and then I had a family funeral. I mean, it's just been chaos since. Done nothing. So I'm super grateful just to have a feeling like annoyed that, oh my gosh, we're having this already, because didn't we just meet? And so I'm so thankful to just be turned again to what my intentions were from the retreat, and to feel the purpose that each person has been sharing, and to feel what mine has been, that I haven't brought forward. So my intention is to follow back on my commitment from our retreat and bring it forward into my life, rather than just having it be a thing that I loved doing, but it's gone, you know? And so thank you for having these reminder moments.
Yeah, I'm so, so glad that's coming through, and I'm excited for you to reset that intention. Angie.
It's really inspired me. Our conversation today has inspired me to play more, and just I'm super just excited at a new level for the interplay of the spaciousness and the structure. And that's always something I've been, because chaos and structure have had a a tumultuous relationship in my life. I'm at this place where I feel like I can really masterfully and creatively work with both. And the retreat experience just showed me like this whole new, I feel like I just like looked behind this curtain to a whole new realm of that. And this conversation has touched on a lot of that too. And then my takeaway connected to what Simona was saying, the retreat also blew my mind around the power of tending to physical space. Like if that's all I had done, if all I had done was work my magic on the physical space and then invited these three women to just come hang out for the weekend, it would have been an elevated, like soul work would have been done. And so being away from my house for almost 2 months and coming back to basically a clean slate, I moved everything out, kind of really clearing it. So I'm coming back to this space where I get to be selective about what I move in. And that's my action commitment, is to do some really purposeful space tending.
I love that. And it feels like you've mentioned a couple times throughout this call, that connection between the flow and the structure. And so it feels like there's something important integrating there for you, and how to use both together. And then last share, Rose.
I'll be quick. It's really what I left with last time, but more just raising soul work, the intention of soul work, to a much higher level of importance. It's really the important thing in my life, and creating practices that support that. I love time blocking. I love creating more soul prayers and practicing this neurographic art and the spiral. So it's literally putting these, knowing the expansiveness exists there, right there for me. So thank you.
Thank you. It's a, I think, perfect note to end on. I'm just so grateful for each of you and your presence and all that you contribute. And I am here. If there's anything you need, let me know. And I will talk to you soon. Have a wonderful rest of your day.